Good evening, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we were in BDC, we noticed something that was new, that was not there a few years back, because we have not been back for a number of years. And that was chicken. They now have a lot of chicks and chicken running around. And that's why we have chicken for lunch and for dinner. That's a chicken. They run around. So these are all free range, so quite delicious. And so there was this toddler, maybe about a year plus or two. He was playing with the chicks. He sat down and he was playing with the chicks. The mother saw, and the mother started to fly, not very high, and then started to peck the head of this toddler. And the toddler, of course, started crying, and so many people rushed to the little toddler and tried to save him from the mother hen. Because as far as the mother hen was concerned, the toddler was hurting the chick. Of course, he was not. He was trying to play with the chick. She didn't understand. She was naturally protective of the little chicks. Protection is something that is inbuilt in us, even in the mother hen. As parents, we protect our children. We try to keep them as safe as possible for as long as possible. And that's what we have been doing for our children. Because we know that the younger they are, the more vulnerable they'll become. And so the best time to help them develop would be the younger they are, the better it will be. Because as they grow older, they will soon be thrust into the world. And we will not be around anymore to shield them and to protect them. And you realize that that experience comes very quickly. The moment your son, your daughter enters into primary school, they will be at the mercy of the friends that they are going to make or meet during recess time, in class. They are going to be confronted by many different experiences that you will not be around to protect them from. They can come back and share with you their hurts and their pains and their experiences. And then maybe you can go back there and try to help them. But you and I know that we are far from omnipresence. And so we want our children to be safe and secure. You and I must ask ourselves, what is the best protection that we could ever give to our children and ourselves? As children of God, we live in a world that is deadly and dangerous. A world that desires to destroy us. A world that desires to hurt us and snatch away our holy witness for Christ. That is the agenda of the world, because the world belongs to the evil one. The Bible tells us that the God of this world is Satan himself. And he has blinded this world. And you and I are experiencing a world that is in blindness, a world that cannot see into the spiritual realm, a world that thinks that what they are doing is right, when in reality, what they are doing is the work of the devil. But they can't see this. Children of God can. And therefore, we need to protect ourselves and our children. And God has given to us the tools to protect. And so what we have here in Proverbs 8, verse 12 to verse 21, is the fear of God. How does the fear of God provide protection? You look at verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. This whole chapter is about wisdom. The wisdom is the application of the Word of God into our daily life. That's wisdom, not just the knowledge. Knowledge is just the head, just knowing facts and data. That is not enough. Wisdom is the application of what we know from God's Word. When you are faced with a difficult situation, a difficult person or persons, how should I react and respond according to the Bible that is Christ glorifying? That is wisdom. And the Bible says wisdom dwells with prudence. Wisdom is personified like a person throughout this whole chapter. You can see that in verse 1, "Doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places." She is described as a feminine, a person, a woman. And it continues in verse 12, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence." So wisdom and prudence, they are one and the same. They are together. They cannot be separated. They live together. You cannot separate them. So if you have wisdom, you will have prudence. Now, what is prudence? Prudence is discretion. You know how to conduct yourself. You know what to avoid. You know what to say, what not to say, at the right time to the right people. That's prudence. That is exactly like what the Word of God ought to be. And then with wisdom, the Bible says, you will find out knowledge of witty inventions. Now, what kind of parallelism do you have here? It is synthetic. If you have prudence and you have wisdom side by side together as part of your life, you will be able to find out knowledge of witty inventions. Now, witty inventions, this word is a very difficult word to translate because most of the time, it is used in a bad sense. For example, in chapter 12, verse 2 of Proverbs, the same word is translated in that context as wicked devices. "A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will God condemn." Will he condemn? That's the word, witty inventions, wicked devices. So the phrase witty inventions is not something that is good and noble. But a person who has wisdom from God will be able to discern, to have the ability to understand what belongs to witty inventions, that means wicked devices, so that he will avoid them. And the Word of God is where he will find this. It's not just the Word of God, but the application of the Word of God. And so you find in verse 13, instead of wisdom, it is replaced by the phrase, the fear of the Lord. So when you are able to see and discover what is right and what is wrong, and witty inventions are all that is wrong, that will be bad for the Christian, for the Christian witness, for the Christian's holy living. He will avoid them. He will have nothing to do with them. And so the fear of the Lord will be the key. Because the more you know God's word, the more you know the Lord. And the more you know the Lord, the more you know his character. And the more you know his character, and as a child of God, as a disciple of Christ, you will know how to conduct yourself in a manner that you do not want Christ to be displeased with you, and you do not want God to be angry with you as his child and as a disciple of Christ. And that is what the fear of the Lord means. The fear of the Lord is more than just a feeling. The fear of the Lord is anchored in the knowledge of the Word of God that is applied into the lives of the person. Wisdom. And so perhaps you can see wisdom, which is the application of the knowledge of the Word of God, and the fear of the Lord like a synonym. And so the wisdom provides protection, because the Word of God, the more you know it, it will protect you from evil, from pride, from arrogancy, and from the evil way, and the froward mouth. You notice this in verse 13? This is a very complete protection. You'll be able to recognize what evil is. And if these people are doing things that are evil, you will have nothing to do with these people. Because not only do you avoid them, you hate evil. No matter how good this person might be, no matter how enticing fellowship with them might bring you, the kind of material reward, but what they are doing is not right. You will not go to those places. You will stay away from these people. Now, as children, they do not have that ability yet. They depend a lot on parents to do that for them. And so parents, if you want your children to have the kind of wisdom to give them the necessary protection in life, the way to help them is to become wise yourself first. In other words, if you want them to have the fear of the Lord in them, you must first have the fear of the Lord in yourself. How do you help your children? Teach them since young this very simple truth. Encourage them to have friends in church since young. That means you have to help them to have friends in church of their age that they can grow up with. That means send them to Sunday school. Naturally, they're going to make friends. And then they're going to grow up together with them through the junior worship or the Sunday school system in your churches. And naturally, they're going to have friends that they're going to lean upon and fellowship with to develop their social life, their EQ. So much so that when you instruct them and tell them that when it comes to your school friends, which most of the time you will not know who they are, and most of the time they will be unbelievers, and you know that they have to interact with them, and you have to let them know that as far as school friends are concerned, they are friends that will help you perhaps in your schoolwork, and you have no choice but to interact with them as far as schoolwork is concerned. There may be group project and so on, whereby they have to know that they are now amongst unbelievers. Their life and testimony of holiness is to help them know the Savior, and that is what you must remind your children to be. As far as their social life is concerned, tell them not to have it with their school friends. Unless you know the school friends well, because you do not know them and you do not know what will happen to them if they have a social life with them at a very tender age of primary level. And you let them go out together. You do not know what they do. Because at the age of 11 and 12, they can do enough hurt and damage. They may even cross the line into criminality. And so you encourage them. Let your social life be with church friends, because you already know them. You have seen these church friends grow up in the church, and you also probably know the parents of these children as well. And so when they go out together, you know who are the people they're going out with, you know the character of the friends that they're going out with, and you know that most of the time they're going to behave themselves. They're not going to do anything that is stupid and that will be of the world, that will hurt them and cross the line into criminality. But in order to do that, you must have the wisdom to guide your children, because they are young. They do not know, they do not have the capacity to make that discretion and that decision. You have to know as parents. And that means you have to know the Word of God. And as you study the Word of God, pray for wisdom to apply the Word of God correctly, because through the study of the Word of God, you're going to know God better. And then when you know God better, you're going to know His character, and automatically the reverential fear that you need to have will suddenly blossom from within your heart, naturally. Because the more you know Him, the more you love Him, the more you do not want Him to be angry with you. You do not want Him to be displeased. And that basically is what the fear of God will do for us. And so when you see evil, you will hate it. Because to go ahead and do that evil, which may allow you to embrace new friends, which may allow you to hear a lot of laughter from your friends, but you know your Heavenly Father will be displeased with you, angry with you. You will not do it. But then if you do not do it, rest assured, the people of the world, they're going to mock you. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to do all kinds of things to pressure you to give up your faith, your life of holiness. And you and I know how strong that pressure can be. But the fear of God will protect them and keep them, and keep your sons and your daughters in the path of righteousness. That no matter how they are goaded by their classmates and by their friends, they will stay the course. Because they do not want the God, the Lord, to be upset with them. Because you know who their Lord will be in their lives. You. Do you realize that? Because when they are 6 or 7 years old, they do not know enough of the Word of God. But because they know you, Mom and Dad, and because what you have instructed them is according to the Word of God, and so when they obey you, they are actually obeying the Word of God, which they do not realize that yet. They think they're just simply obeying Mom and Dad. But if your obedience and your instruction is Bible-based, they are actually obeying you. And that is also true in a family structure. Did the Bible not tell us that the head of the man is Christ and the head of the wife is the man, the husband? So that when the man follows Christ and the wife follows the husband who follows Christ, actually she's following Christ too. So likewise in the parent-child relationship, you want to provide protection for your children, the best way to begin is to ensure that you have the fear of God in your own heart. And that means you have to know the Word of God in order to know God so that your fear of Him will be Bible-based. It is a good kind of fear. The kind of fear that will draw you closer to righteousness and farther away from wickedness and evil. And not only that, but also pride and arrogancy. Pride and arrogancy. One is mental, the other one is acted out. Pride is inert. You don't see it. It's inside. But then you can tell by the person's arrogance. Oh, he's very arrogant. You can tell by his demeanor, by his body language, by the way he speaks, by the way he talks down to people. And a person who fears God, he will have the mind of Christ. He will be humble. He will realize that everything that I have comes from God. And if you know that everything that you have comes from God, what is there to be proud of, to be boastful about? Nothing. But without the knowledge that everything comes from God, and the more you study the Bible, the more you know that everything about you came from God, you will be humble immediately. And you will just simply point people to the Lord. You will simply say, if you ever get a compliment from all your heart and with all sincerity, praise the Lord. Truly. Because you know it is the Lord who has done it through you. It is the Lord who has done it for you. Everything is the Lord who has done it because you know Him. You know that He is so near to you. He is part of your life. And that's how you protect yourself from pride and arrogancy. It's not just simply say, I want to be humble. That doesn't work. This is genuine. This is sincere. And the way to do it is to know that even the breath, even the talents, even the spiritual gifts, every grain of sand in that building of yours, in that house of yours, every cent in that bank account, all came from your loving Heavenly Father. And once you know this in your heart, and that's what the Bible will tell you, the more you study the Bible, the more you know how powerful and how sovereign God is. There is no room for pride and arrogancy. And then when you come to the evil way, you will stay away. You have nothing to do with that kind of path. And then those who do not speak properly, especially when they crack dirty jokes, there is nothing to laugh about. Not only will you not laugh, God will give you the courage to speak up and to tell them not to do it anymore. Now that is what the fear of God will avail all of God's children. That is the kind of protection that we need from this world. A world that is filled with sin and evil people whose only agenda is to destroy our holy witness and to destroy our lives in the process. Because when our witness is destroyed, our lives will be destroyed. Your many years of bearing a holy witness will go down the drain because of one act of foolishness. And years of godly, holy witness will be gone because of one act of foolishness. And the fear of God will protect us from committing the sin of fornication and adultery anywhere and everywhere you go. You know your Heavenly Father watches. And the fear of the Lord will protect your sons and your daughters from all the computer games that they will play. They know that God is watching. They will stop. They will not go into those sites that are pornographic in nature because they know that God is watching. You and I may be asleep. You and I know that we are so limited in our ability to protect our children. Sure, when they are babies, we can do that. When they are up to the age of 6, we can still do that if you don't send them to kindergarten. The moment you get them out of your home and you are not around, that's it. If you send them to K1, K2, you know they're at the mercy of the other children and the teachers. You send them to the wrong kind of kindergarten, you expose your children at that tender age to the wrong kind of teaching. and to the wrong kind of influence. And then when they come back home, they are too young to tell you exactly what they have experienced. And you may find out much later when they are older by the vocabulary, by the way they conduct themselves. And by then, it may be a little too late because they have already got this kind of nonsense sealed into their character. And you have to undo it rather than to prevent it. So if you keep them away from school, you can have them in your home. That's your 24/7 protection. But the moment they go to school, it's done. It's over. And that's why some parents think that, well, maybe homeschool is better. Homeschool will have its own challenge. A different kind of challenge. Because you have to be very sure, as mothers, as fathers, especially the mother if she is the one staying home, do not confuse your child. You have to let your child know that mother right now is just mother. And then during this time, from this time to this time, mother is now teacher. Then when you want to discipline, is it the teacher disciplining me or is it the mother disciplining me? The child gets confused. These are the challenges. And the kind of social interaction that your child needs to have will only be on Sunday. They will not have it on the other days if you were to send them to school. Both will have their pros and cons. But above all else, the Word of God with the fear of God is the key that can protect them under all circumstances, because we're talking about the Word of God and the fear of the Lord, who is omnipresent and omnipotent. And He will be there to protect, because He will reside in your child with the Word of God and the teaching from the Word of God that you give to them. It will remain and it will stand them in good stead, especially later on. If you bear a holy witness at home as a Christian husband and a Christian wife, very soon you're going to experience the joy of every Christian parents. Your children will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. And once that is certain, you know the next step will be much easier, because now the Spirit of God will indwell them to aid them, to help them, and to bring to remembrance all that you have instructed them from Holy Scriptures. Now that is a Christian home. And that is what Christian parents can do for their children in protecting them from the world that is out there. But to do that, you have to protect yourself. At first, I wondered why in planes that when they showed that clip before takeoff, that we are supposed to put the oxygen mask on ourselves first before we do it for our children. Why do they have to tell us that? Because they know that as parents, the first inclination is that when there is danger and the oxygen mask comes down, our normal, natural reaction as parents is to do for our children. And that's why they tell us deliberately, don't do for your children first, do for yourself first, do it to yourself. Why? I ask myself. And then the answer is pretty obvious. Because of the split second or the few seconds that when you do it for your child, and if the cabin loses oxygen very quickly, the oxygen is all sucked up. You do it for your child is safe. But your child is too young, he can't do it for you. You will die. That's why they say you have to do it for yourself. So that even if the cabin suddenly loses oxygen, you are old enough and immediately you can still save your child, because you can help your child, the child can't help you. And that is also true in every home. The child depends upon you to give them the protection, parents. You can help them, but first you've got to help yourself. Because if you do not help yourself and you try to tell them what the Bible tells them ought to do and you do not do them yourself, you will become the greatest hindrance and stumbling block to them. Because they will see mom and dad as nothing but one big gigantic hypocrite. And in that situation, it is better for you not to call yourself Christians than to call yourself Christians, and then now you cause your children to hate not only you but Christ. Because they will think that Christians are hypocrites. Because mom and dad are so godly in church, giving to the whole church an appearance of piety and godliness. But at home, we see the difference. We see the devil in mom and in dad. They quarrel and they argue and they do not make up, they do not apologize. They do not pray with us. They do not teach us God's word. They do not point us to the Savior. They do not help us at all in anything Christian. Everything is about schoolwork, schoolwork, study, schoolwork, math, science, Chinese. And that's it. That's all they care about. And then when they come to church, they just hand us over to Sunday school, and that's our only exposure. And then they come back home, mom and dad cared only for the world and how they can get us out of our HDB flat into the condominium, and that's what they talk about, and that's what they have been doing. And as far as the spiritual well-being of the children, if not for what they get from Sunday school, they get nothing. And once they're old enough, they realize that that hour or two in Sunday school per week is far from sufficient to help them, to protect them from the world that will snare them very easily. The moment they enter into secondary school, you and I know that the snare has begun. That's how deadly our world is. And that's why it is so important that in order for us to give our children the fear of God that is enough to protect them from the way of evil, from pride, from arrogancy, and every froward mouth, whereby they will hate all these things. That is the best. When they hate all these things, you and I know the kind of feeling what hate can do. They will have nothing to do with them. Is there any food that you hate, that you will never, never eat? I will not eat anything pink in color. So you give me any food that is pink in color, absolutely there is no desire. Absolutely no desire. No matter how hungry, maybe if I'm so hungry that I'm about to die, then maybe the pink food there I will eat. But other than that, I have nothing to do with pink food. Why? I don't know. It's pink. I don't like pink food. I don't like pink drink. I like Bandung drink. But pink food, I don't like. Is it something that you don't like? Bitter gourd? Something that you just don't like? Cockroach? Don't like cockroach? You hate it? Ooh, see only run. Now you and I know what the feeling is like. Rat? Oh, see the rat only, oh, run. Now, only for women, huh? Men, you must not run, huh? You must be brave. You must protect. Right? Once you hate something, you have nothing to do with that thing. And you know what the feeling is like. So apply the feeling to all things evil, all things proudful, all things arrogant, and all things forward. And instill that in your own life, and then in the lives of your children, so that your children will embrace it because they love mom and dad. They will follow mom and dad. Because as far as they are concerned, at that tender age, you will be to them as God. Do you realize that? They can't read the Bible. And there's nothing wrong with that. Remember what God said to Moses? You will be to them as God. So Moses, you better behave yourself. Because they don't want me to speak to them directly. They want me to speak to you. And whatever you say to them, they say that they're going to receive it as if it is God's word. So Moses, you better speak properly, you better behave properly. And that's exactly what parents are. You will be to your young children as God. As they grow older, of course, they will not regard you as such. But when they are young, everything that you tell them, everything that you put into their mouth, they will trust you not to hurt them, not to poison them, not to give them anything that you know will not be good for them. And that's what it means. You will be to them as God in that sense. And therefore, it is so important for you to make sure that the instruction that you give your children is indeed the Word of God. Because once they are instilled with the knowledge of the Word of God, they are going to fear God. They're not going to want to displease Him because they don't want to displease you. Because you have given them the Word of God. And they loved you. They trust you 100%. Of course, as they grow older, they will understand that what mom and dad have been teaching me is from the Word of God. So even when I obey them as a six-year-old, actually I'm obeying God, obeying God's Word. Because mom and dad have been teaching me God's Word. And the fear of God will continue to help them into adult life. Because you have taught them when they are young, that you have to do what is right even if you are being taunted in primary school. They will laugh at you. They will mock you when you pray and give thanks for your food. They're going to laugh at you, but you continue to give thanks. They may snatch away your food. They may do all kinds of things. You don't retaliate. You continue to pray. And if they take away your food, you go and buy another one and replace it, and you continue to do the same. And if they learn to do this, and you teach them to be victorious through it all, to be a holy witness for Christ, when they grow older into the working world, you think it's going to be any different? It's probably going to be worse. Isn't that true? They're going to laugh at you. They're going to mock at you. Come, let's join us and go clubbing. Everyone is doing it. Why don't you? No, I can't, because it is not a place where Christ would want me to go. But that's where all the bosses go. That's how you rub shoulders with all these very important people. That's how you get yourself promoted. That's how you get all your bonuses and all the perks. Come, all the big bosses are there. No, I'm not going. Even if the boss forces you to drink, no thanks. The pressure will be real, especially when they have foreign clients. And then you go out and then they ask you to drink. You're going to stand your ground. Are you prepared? And your boss may not be happy with you because these are the clients from other country. According to their culture, if you do not drink with them, it may be an insult to them. And so therefore, what are you going to do? Since young, my mom and dad has really taught me, stay away from the evil way. Stay away from the froward mouth. No matter how they try to threaten me and taunt me, froward mouth, I will not budge. I hate froward mouth. And so you will not budge. You stand your ground. And you will not allow anyone or anything to cause you to lose your holy witness, because I have already learned it from young. My mom and my dad taught me in primary school. And now that you are an adult, you will stay the course. Now that's what the fear of the Lord will do. And that's what the wisdom of God, the application of the knowledge will give us. The kind of reverential fear that you do not want your Heavenly Father to be displeased with your life. Even if everyone around you laugh at you, the way that you live your holy life, so be it. For the sake of Christ, you stand. That's what the fear of the Lord will protect us from. Evil men, evil way, pride, arrogancy, and the froward mouth, which is very common in our world. How to do it? To maintain it. Verse 15 to verse 16, you have to apply it. Right? By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. By me, by what? By wisdom, by the fear of the Lord, by the knowledge and application of the word of God. Even kings can rule. Now this can be seen in the life of King David. You have to apply it. Any portion of the word of God that you know that is not applied, it's useless. It falls short of what God had intended the word of God to be. It has to be applied. That's why by me, by wisdom, you've got to apply it. And if kings and princes and judges and every one of us, in one way or another, you will have to make judgment and you have to apply the word of God. If the word of God is not applied consistently daily in your day-to-day life, everywhere you go, it will not last. It has to be applied. And you've got to teach yourself how to apply it, whereby you really understood it and be convicted by it and tell yourself, I'm going to do it by God's grace and by God's enabling. I will do it. And in order to keep it going, you have to love it. I love them that love me. Right? There's wisdom talking. Because when you love the word of God, you don't have to tell the person to read the word of God. He loves it. You don't have to tell the person, when the person is in love, to do well and to study well. True? When I was growing up in secondary school, I think in secondary school, or maybe primary school, I was a poor student because I like to play and I like to draw. I don't like to study. And maths was not my favorite subject until one day when I went to class, I liked the teacher. Pretty teacher. In the past, I didn't like the teacher. So I didn't like the subjects. But this time I liked the pretty teacher. What do you think happens? I want the pretty teacher to think well of this stupid student. And so this stupid student started to study hard in maths. Don't need my mom to now sit down next to me and help me to memorize my timetable. I do it on my own. My mom was surprised because when I bring back my report card, no more F. Now I get passed. And not only do I just pass, I improve. I get better. Of course, I didn't tell her the secret why. Because I like the teacher and I want the teacher to think well of me. Of course, next year, no more teacher. So, but I still like maths till today, by God's grace. When you love someone, you don't have to tell the person. The person will love to hear the person's voice. How do you know when a husband and a wife has fallen out of love? You can tell when the husband keep on smiling and looks so cheerful when the wife is not around. Yeah, you can tell. And the wife is not around in overseas or whatever reason. And then you look at him, wow, so happy, so cheerful. The moment the wife comes back, look at him. Very downcast. Not happy anymore. You can tell. Absence makes the heart grow fonder because love is true and sincere and genuine. And the other saying is out of sight, out of mind, because love is no longer present. And so when you love wisdom, when you love the Lord, you will never want him to be upset or angry with you. That's why the fear is called reverential fear. Sure, it also includes fear, because when you do wrong, and we know that sometimes we will still stumble and fall, and you and I know the only way that God will no longer be angry with me when I am in sin is to repent with all my heart and cry to the Lord for forgiveness. And that will continue to happen. But you have to keep on crying to God for forgiveness. And God will forgive. And then immediately, your relationship will be right with God and God will no longer be angry with you. Because God says, my son, my daughter, has repented and washed by the blood of Christ. The relationship is fine again. Because you don't want God to be angry with you, because you love him. When you love someone, you do not want that person to be angry. And that's how you sustain the fear of God in your life, in the life of your children. So how to make sure that they continue to love the Lord? Those that seek God early shall find him. Seek God early. It's not just early in the morning. It's early, very young. The younger they are, the better it will be. It's early in life. Not just early in terms of time. When you wake up in the morning, it's early in life. Now, I came to know Christ at the age of 20 plus. But thank God that our children, God has blessed us with them in our home, and we are already Christians. And so we try our best to instill in them the Word of God as young as possible, to read children's Bible with them, to let them know the stories, and to pray with them since young, even when they were babies, to have family worship, to pray with them in the morning and to pray with them before they go to school. Hopefully to instill in them this legacy that they will continue to pray for themselves even when they are alone before they begin the day, to begin their school. When they go to school alone, they will pray as they walk to the bus stop. Hopefully. That's what we pray and that's what we hope for our children, to instill in them the Word of God when they are young, as early as possible. 18 and 19, teach them to treasure it and regard the Word of God as priceless treasures that is beyond measure, better than fine gold and precious silver. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness, durable, lasting. Nothing can steal it from you once you have them. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Teach our children the precious nature of the Word of God. Not money, not gold, not materialism, but the Word of God. How to do that? When they see mom and dad spending time studying the Word, when they see mom and dad obeying the Word, naturally, they will also want to follow suit because they can see the transformed life in mom and dad when they obey the word of God. And one day when they become parents themselves, they will realize that they have a godly example in mom and dad to follow, so that when they are blessed with children, and if the Lord tarries, they can also pass on what they have learned from mom and dad to their children. And the children, your grandchildren, will also be blessed with the word of God early, and to treasure the word of God. And once you treasure it, the world's attraction will grow dim. You will not care for the materialism. You will no longer compare yourself with the Joneses in terms of the material things at all. You just thank God for who you are and what God has entrusted to you, and you will be contented because you already have godliness. And godliness with contentment is great gain, not just gain, great gain. And the word of God will provide you with all that. Nothing else could. And then finally, verse 20 and verse 21, you have to keep on obeying it. Keep on following it, because if you don't, again, it will not last. I lead in the way of righteousness. You've got to follow. You must not lead wisdom. Wisdom must lead you. You follow in the footsteps of wisdom. You don't try to make the word of God suit you. You have to suit the word of God. You have to follow the word of God. I lead you in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Now, these are all not material for us. These are all spiritual, eternal treasures. That your life will be a life of holiness, but your life will impact the lives of others also toward holiness. So that everywhere you go, you leave behind an impact for Christ, to help people become better believers because of your life, because of your conversation, because of your holy conduct. And that is how God will protect us, to make us a blessing. First, keep us away from evil, pride and arrogance and frowardness, so that we will hate them and have nothing to do with them. And then what do you do with your time, with your life? You will do everything that is good, holy and righteous and just. And to maintain that, God will be pleased with you, because the fear of the Lord will cause you not to want Him to be angry with you. To maintain that, you have to apply it, you have to love it, you have to treasure it, and then you have to follow it. And when you do that, God guarantees you will be well protected. And no matter what the world, including the devil, may throw at you and your children, you can rest assured that even if the Lord has taken you home, your sons and your daughters, they will continue to walk the path of truth and righteousness, because they also have the fear of the Lord in them, just as you have, because you have taught them and passed it on to them early. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us to realize, O Lord, how wonderful the word of life we hold in our hands, and how you desire all of us not to just hold the word of God in our hands, but to hide the precious word of God in our hearts, that the fear of God may continue to provide us with the protection that we need from a world that is subtle, from a world that is filled with witty inventions, wicked devices that desire to hurt us and harm us and rob us of our holy witness and testimony for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us all, O Lord, as parents, as adults, to have the fear of God in our hearts as your children, so that we as parents may help our sons and our daughters to protect them from this world that is filled with evil, wickedness, pride and arrogance and frowardness. And only the word of God and the fear of God in our hearts can provide us the necessary protection, not only for the moment, but for the rest of our lives as we serve Thee as strangers and sojourners on this earth. Create in us, O Lord, a thirst for Thy truth. Stir within our hearts a love for Thee, and to help us understand how precious the word of life is to all of God's children. For in them are treasures beyond measure, more precious than fine gold and choice silver. May this be our heart's cry and our heart's desire for ourselves and for our sons and our daughters and for everyone in our lives as well, to teach them the joy of studying the Word of God and to obey the Word of life, that we may all have life eternal. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory, and for Jesus' sake, hear us. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.